Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We're now in Masachet Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. At the next Mishnah in our examination of what happens with confusion regarding Mitat Beitin. In the previous Mishnah we dealt with Mechuyev Mitot getting mixed up together, and now it's sort of an inverse problem. Mishnah Chayev Vishtei Mitot Beitin. If some individual becomes Chayav for two different mitot beidin, he did two different actions, mechalal Shabbat and adultery. So he's chayav skila for Shabbat, and he's chayav kechenek for adultery. He don b'chamura. Unlike the previous Mishnah, here he gets the more severe one, and the simple read of it is because he needs kapara for everything, therefore we have to give him the more severe one. Avar v'rash chayev shtei mitot, and therefore if he did one crime which carries two mitot with it, we'll see an example, Nidon b'chamura. Again, he has to get the more severe punishment. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, Nidon b'zikah rishonah sheba'alav. He is judged by the first relationship that exists here. And the Gemara, I'll give an example right away and lay it out. All right, pshita, it's obvious that if he is chayav two mitot beitin, he's going to get the more severe one, because we're not going to think, ela itaguri itagur, do we think that he's going to gain? In other words, he's Mechal Shabbat and he's Chayav Skilah. Do we think now that he's has Niyuf, he's going to get lightened to Chenek? Hacham Askin, so what's the case? Ngon Shavar Virakala, he violated a lesser crime. And he Gmardin all of our Kalah. He had Gmardin already to get Chenek, let's say. V'chazar V'rav V'rachamura. And then he did the greater, graver sin. Salka Dayta Chamene came under Gmardin all of Virakala. I would think that because he already had Gmardin on the lighter one, Hai Gavrak Tilahu, this guy's already a dead guy. Kamash Malan, that he's not a dead guy, and therefore his violation of a more severe one carries with it the more severe punishment. Now, Ba'amine Achua, Rav Yosef Racham Rav Ranatan. So he asked the following question. What is the source for this ruling? That if a person incurs two liabilities, he gets the more severe one. Now the context, just to give a bit of background, is that Yechezkel, in a seminal chapter, in Perek Yud Chet, describes a refutation of the aphorism that people were saying, which is that the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the teeth of the sons are set on edge, meaning that the father sinned and the children are suffering. And this is critical to understand the timing. Yechezkel is talking to an audience right after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and evidently there are voices being heard of saying, we're suffering for other people's sins, it's not fair. And so Yechezkel says, don't say that anymore. Rather, ha-nefesh ha-choteti tamut. Every person pays for his own crimes, nobody can ride anybody else's coattails, etc. And in that description, he lays out a narrative where there's a man who's a great guy, does great things, and he has a son who's a terrible guy. So the terrible kid will suffer, the father won't suffer for that, and if the terrible kid has a great son, the son won't suffer for the terrible father's behavior. And in it, he uses examples. What does he say? V'liv ben paritz shofech dam. If this tzaddik gives birth to a low-life kid who spills blood, el harim achal, he eats facing the mountains, meaning towards the Avodah Zarah, and he violates his friend's marriage, and he looks towards the idols. So how do we interpret it? He's a murderer, adultery, and then, and what happens? He will die, his blood is on him. And we already know from the previous parak that Dmehem Bam and Damabbo is a catchword for Skila. So you see, he gets the most severe of these punishments. Maybe all of these are Skila. Maybe it's a Ben Soramar, Biskila. Maybe it's not Ramarasad, Biskila. So maybe all of them are Skila. So Imkain, my Kamashlan Yechezkel. So then what's Yechezkel teaching by using these three examples? So, Dilma Torah Kamahadu, who says he's teaching anything? Maybe he's just reviewing the Torah and saying that if he does these three terrible crimes, he'll still die on his own. So, Imkeni Boile Ladurei Keichet Adra Moshe Rabbeinu. If so, he should have used the same language as Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact that he used different language indicates he's trying to teach something. What's the lesson? That even though he incurred punishments for lesser crimes, which means less severe deaths, nonetheless, he gets the most severe of them all. This is now earlier in the parak when it describes the good guy, that he didn't eat facing the mountains. Now, all of these descriptions, he didn't eat facing the mountains, and he didn't violate his friend's marriage, and he didn't have relations with Anita. All right, the guy's an okay guy, but he's not a tzaddik. I mean, let's get real. So what is the great stuff about this guy? We have to darshan. Parenthetically, there is a connection between the word harim, mountains, and horim, parents. Take a look, if you wish, at the last pasuk in Yaakov's bracha to Yosef, and you'll see what referred to as a Janus parallel in that pasuk, in which both parents and hills are connected by the connected word of horim. The idea is, of course, when a woman is behe rayon, she is a little bit looking like a mountain. So, in any case, halarim lo achal, what's the drasha shel achal bischut avotav? He did not benefit from his parents' schut, he earned his own way. What does that mean? Shel alach b'komaz kufa. Doesn't just mean dinovot azar. He didn't walk around haughty. So instead of it being adultery, it's he didn't violate his fellow's livelihood and interrupt his fellow's livelihood. That's something we dealt with in the second paragraph of Stakah. He didn't benefit from the kumas shel stakah, even though he was an oni and had the rights to, he still didn't. Just like when the nidah. This is a tzaddik he'll live. Now, Kishar ben Gamliel, Magiel, Mikra, Azeh, Yabocher, ben Gamliel got to this pasuk based on those drashot, he wept. You have to be somebody who lives by all of these rules to live. If not, then you don't. So, Amar Rabbi Akiva, El Miata, El Tidamu Becholela. So, in the inverse, when you look at the list of the arayot, and it says, do not become defiled with all of these, that means, Becholu in Bechad Minayu Lo, you're only in violation if you do every possible erva. It means don't become defiled with any of these. So Rekiva, to put Rabbi Gamliel's mind at rest, said, if a guy does any one of these things, he's a tzaddik and chayo yichya. Okay. So we said that Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah said that whatever the first relationship is, that's what seals the deal. What does that mean? Let's say you married a woman who was an orphan, which means her mother, and that her father's not alive. So the first issue that you have with her mother is chamoto. And then she remarries. Then nidon b'chamoto. And if you have a relationship with her, according to Rabbi Yossi, you're judged for chamoto and get sreifa. But eshet ish, in the more typical situation where your wife's mother is currently married when you marry her, which means the first issue you had was eshet ish before you married her. And then aset chamoto. Then you married her, but she went chamoto. Nidon b'eshet ish. Then you'd get chenek. So Amalav Rada Barav Rava. So he turned to Rav and said, "Chamoto, and I say Eshed Ish Nidon Chamoto. Nidon Ami Eisor Eshed Ish. Why isn't he judged for Eshed Ish also?" So evidently, what he was asking—nobody could really get a handle on this—but evidently, what he was asking about was a case of Shogeg, because they thought that Rabbi Yossi did not find him culpable for two Chataot. So he said, "Amar Bavav Moder Yossi BeIsor Mosif," and this really isn't a relevant statement because of where this is really coming from. But in the context of the discussion of Ein Isser, Chalal Isser, that an Isser cannot become more intensified, we have the notion of Isser Mosif and Isser Kolel. And that's a sugi at the end of Kiddushin. We discussed it there. But as far as we're concerned, the bottom line is that if there is an Isser which then becomes a wider Isser, meaning it affects more people. So for instance, if a woman is your mother-in-law, she's aser to you, she's not aser to somebody else. If she marries, she's now aser to that other guy too, as like to everybody in the world except her husband. So therefore, because of an iser mosif, as far as you're concerned, she is both chamoto and eshet ish, because eshet ish has a broader range. And Rabbi Yossi agrees that iser chalal iser in such a case. So I'm really, what did Rabbi say to him? Adabri, betray kaltli katlale. Would you gonna kill him twice? I'm talking only about mita. In the case of mita, you're gonna kill him once. The question is, what mita does he get? So Rabbanan say, whichever is more severe. Rabbi Yossi says, no, whichever the first relationship was, which in this case would be chamoto in any case, but if it was inverted, then it would be eshet ish. Okay, the next Mishnah, Mishalah Kavish Shana. Beitin machnisin oto la kippah. Now we get the kippah again. But here it's if somebody got mako twice. Let's see why the hell it works. Beitin puts him into the kippah, the cell. Machnisin oto sorin, they feed him barley, achakre somit pakat, until his stomach explodes. What's going on? We're going to see more about the kippah in the next Mishnah. But Mishum l'akav shana beitin konsinu told the kippah, just because he got mako twice, he wore shatnez, he got mako, and then did malach and yantif and got mako, you kill him? We're talking about getting makot for violating a karet. Now, What's the reason? The Gavra Bar Katlahu. Really, he's a guy who should die. But his death is not proximate. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to kill him, but not right now. But since he is exposing himself, and since he's forgiving his life, as it were, by wantonly violating again, therefore we bring the death closer. So again, we don't kill him, we just cause his death. He said, let me explain one thing to that, which is, if it's one crime which he does over and over, then we kill him. But if it's two or even three separate crimes, he gets makot, he's just tasting around. He's just kind of getting anah. He's not so wanted, and therefore we don't kill him. So that means the limitations are actually quite clear, that it has to be makot for karet, and the same crime twice. Now, Mishlah Kavashana. So the Mishnah said if he gets makot twice, meaning that we're saying that there's a pattern after two. Alpha Gavdilo Shilesh, even though there were three. Lema Nitin Lo Kerb Shem Gamliel. There's a famous machloket. Rebbe Shem Gamliel is chazakah after two times or three times, for instance. If a woman gives birth to a son and they do Mila and he dies. Another son do Mila and he dies. At what point do we say you don't do Mila on the kids anymore? After two or after three? If a woman is married to a man and the man dies. She marries another man and he dies. Can a third man marry her? Katlani. That's the machloket. So Lema Nita Lokum Shem Gamliel. It sounds like our Mishnah opposes Shem Gamliel because it says after two times you're already a hopeless recidivist. He said you need three times. No, even Shem Gamliel would agree. When it comes to establishing a chazaka, we're looking for a pattern. And even though statistically the odds grow with each incidence of the pattern, each particular incident is no more likely than the previous one. But here, it is about intent and about habit. The fact that he continues to do this each time becomes more severe. So maybe Shem Gamliel would agree, after two times, you're really on a hopeless path to perdition. Meitavaser is a challenge to that. Avar v'rashesh b'malkiyo pam rishonah u'shniya. Again, you violated makot two times. Malkinoto. U'shlishit kol tzinoto l'kipah. After the third time, put him into the kippah. Abishal says one more time, give makot a third time, then you put him into the kippah. My love, the kuliyam malkiyot machziko. Doesn't everybody agree that just like doing the avera more times strengthens your resolve? Similarly, getting malkiot, either it's going to break you and you'll never do it again, or you're going to become more defiant. And the machloket here is between Rebbe and Rishbag, whether it's after three times or after four times, but nobody says after two times. Lo, the kuli alma eat lohud Rabbi Shem Gamliel. Everybody agrees with Rabbi Shem Gamliel, it's three times. Question is it the Averot that strengthen you? So the third time you did the Avera, you're already in. Or is it the Malkiot, and therefore you need three sets of Malkiot to break in? But everybody agrees it's three. that will be difficult because, Vahadatanya, Haitrubo v'shatak, Hitrubo v'hirchin rosho. Let's say a guy got hatra'av, he didn't respond, or he put his head down. In other words, he didn't back off, but he also didn't accept it verbally. Pam rishonah u'shniya matrinbo. You give him that warning twice, first, second time. Shlishit kozino tol kippah. The third time, put into the kippah. And by the way, he didn't get makot at all. Abashal omer afresh shlishit matrinbo. You do the third time, or vid kozino tol kippah. The fourth time, you bring him in. That's a malkiot leka. There's no malkiot at all. So what's the machloket about? The machloket is you need to give hatra'ah for the kippah. Meaning the first time you said, don't do it, you'll get makot. He didn't respond, so you can't give him makot. Second time. Third time, do you take him to the kippah, or do you need now to say, if you do it a third time, you're going to get kippah, and then you need a special hatra'ah for that, or is the hatra'ah of kippah subsumed under these two times of hatra'ah for malkiot? Now, by the way, what's the kippah? My kippah, Rav Yehuda, malo komato. It's a cell that's exactly his height. Hechor mizu, where's there a hint there that we're allowed to get rid of this guy in non-formal ways? Rish Lakish, to motate Rasha Ra'ah. Finish off the evil Rasha. So another drasha of Resh Lakish, that the pasuk says, man does not know his time, just like fish that are caught in a bad trap. My mitzudara, what's that? I'm Resh Lakish, chaka, the lure, the hook that he gets caught on. Okay, the last piece we're going to take a look here is, hareg nefesh shelo be'edim. If somebody kills without any edim, which by the way raises the question, how do we know? Machisin oto lekipa, you only put him in the kipa. Machisin oto lechem tsar mayim lacha, so you give him bread and water. Now, a little bit of bread and a little bit of water. Now, first of all, manaya dinan. How do we know he killed if we don't have edut? Amarab edut miyuchedet. Edut miyuchedet means, for instance, where you have two edim, but they're looking through two different windows, and not as per Shulman Korach, who said that that's good edut. In other words, we have proper testimony that he killed, but on a technicality, it doesn't work. So that's edut miyuchedet. Shmuel amar shalom batra'ah. There's proper edim, but they didn't give hatra'ah. Or let's say they got tripped up by not reporting the same thing about some very tangential issue. But not on something essential. In the earlier Mishnah we said that with when it comes to the bidikot, that Ben Zakkai used to ask them how were the stems on the figs that were on the tree that this thing happened underneath, were they thick or thin? Well, there, they could have gotten tripped up, so you'd use that to invalidate witnesses. But when we know a guy killed, because we have proper testimony, but he got off on a technicality, then we employ the kippah. Umachilin oto lechem tsar mayim lachat. So we feed him bread and water. So why in the early Mishnah did it say we feed him barley till he blows up, and here it's bread and water? In both cases, and each thing is adding a part. In both cases, you give him a little bit of bread, a little bit of water until the stomach gets very small. Then we feed him barley, and he's so hungry that he'll eat it, and his stomach blows up. Okay, we'll pause at this point, stay far away from the kippah, and everybody should have a wonderful day.